This is a Discovery Church podcast. Every heart found in Jesus' story. Wherever you are in your journey of faith, we pray that this message brings you deep encouragement. If you would like to get involved in the life of our church, head over to discoverychurch.com.au or check out our social media or YouTube channel.
Hey, you know, I wasn't nervous at all when I was practicing in here on Thursday when it was empty, and I'm certainly not nervous now that there's like 300 of you in here. But thank you so much for being here in church this morning. As was mentioned, my name is Vincent. My friends call me Vin and my mum calls me Bin, and you can ask me about that because I come from a Filipino background and we don't really know how to pronounce certain letters. But yeah, we're in a series here at church called For Those Who Have Ears. It's a series on the parables. And what we've been learning is that Jesus taught through story, and I love teaching through story because I'm not a highly intellectual individual and those pictures really help me. And we're learning about how that our lives can be drawn and thrown alongside these stories. What we've also learned, though, is that there is a sting in the tail for every parable. Sometimes it's very obvious and sometimes it's not. And Pastor Zeke Merley did a great job last week preaching on the Holy Spirit and prayer. And that was really, really, really great. So this morning I have that incredible privilege. But I've got to ask this question before we get into it. And that is, does anyone in this room like setting goals? Or maybe you're not the individual. Give me a show of hands. Who likes setting goals? If you don't like setting goals, how about assigning objectives to inputs and outputs without due dates? How about that? Does anyone like doing that? Okay, cool. I'm a little bit of a project management guy, so I like that too. In addition to the privilege I have of being, the leader of the creative areas here at church, the other great privilege I think I have in my life is I've just celebrated 10 years of being married to my beautiful wife, Gabby. And, I am a middle child, and so there are things that come with that, and she's very patient, and she loves me very well. One of the other things that I have the great privilege of is being the parent of three kids. I won't tell you who they are, because they just look for the ones that look like me. A few of the other things I do in my life, in addition to my 9-to-5 being working here at church, I run a creative agency, full scale with a studio. I'm a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu brown belt and I coach Jiu-Jitsu in Bayswater. Come down if you ever want to. I'm an amateur YouTuber. Don't ask me what the channel's about. It's kind of embarrassing. And so to be able to do those things, I like goal setting. And so at the start of every year, I kind of have these six goals. Three of them are hard and kind of really practical ones. And then three of them are relational. Because, how many of us know that we do life in community and it's very important to, have relational goals? I feel like I do. And in order to do that, I have a system that I use. It's called, I think, the 21 block model. I basically, 7 days in the week, I split each day into three blocks and then I just make sure that there's room to do all these things. Interestingly, side note, I do have free time and rest in there. I struggle with that, so you can pray for me. And then in my studio, I have, my goals, my 21 block model, and then I have my 8 habits of highly successful people. And I need that because I'm not yet a highly successful individual. So if you're like me, then you might find something helpful out of that. But who knows that God is the same? God is the same. God, the Father, created each and every one of us with a purpose. And I don't know if you're hearing that for the first time or that's the millionth time you've heard it. It's still true. God created us with a purpose. And broadly speaking, they pretty much can be categorized, if you ask me, into two areas. And that is to love and be loved by Him and to love and be loved by others. All right? We are called and we are built and created with purpose. It says in Psalm 139 that we're uniquely and wonderfully made, but we're uniquely and wonderfully made with intention, and that is to be loved by Him and to know Him and to love others, Broadly speaking, we believe that we love Him by encountering Him and we love others by partnering with the Holy Spirit and letting the Holy Spirit bring the spiritual gifts of, love, joy, peace. Who knows the stories? Tim's here. He's from kids ministry. What are they, mate? We got all the spiritual gifts. We want to see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control into our lives, into our families, our schools, our workplaces. Pretty much one of the great purposes for our life is that kingdom that we're imagining, to see that come here on earth, or to see glimpses of that on earth. And how does God actually do this? Well, until Jesus comes again, it's you and me with the Holy Spirit. So we have great purpose. And it's so cool because what it means, sorry guys, I'm moving a lot. My team working the cameras. If you ever want to volunteer, you know, it's not an easy job, guys. So I appreciate you. It is a great thing that we get to partner with a great work of bringing hope and life and love into this world. It's actually so great. I've just heard of 25 years of service. This is incredible, the impact that people can have on the world and that you and I might have a chance of doing and have been doing. And I love that. I love that. It's so good. But it sounds good in theory, but in practice, sometimes it can be hard. Sometimes we don't know what to do. Or, you know, sometimes we know that we need to give financially to support things, but I have no money. Lord, I can't, I don't have capacity. Or we have to serve, but we have no time, you know. Or we have to create and solve problems and bring solutions, but we have no skills. And these are fair and these are legitimate, like, thoughts, you know. Thankfully, we have the Bible to help us, the living and active Word of God. And so I'm going to read a parable today, and I'm going to go through and explain what the parable kind of means for us, and then how we can kind of, yeah, see this parable help us to bring kingdom here. So if you're online, or if you're in the room, or if you're in the parents' room, feel free to jump or follow along on the screens, but I'm going to read from Matthew 25, and then we're going to pray. And this is the parable of the talents. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2, to another 1, and to each according to his ability. Then he went away. And he who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. And also the one who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. And now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5. Here I have made 5 more. And his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2. Here I have made 2 more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of the master. Just pause there, guys. The response was the same. Do you agree? It's exactly the same response. Now, here's where we go a little bit unstuck. Servant 3, or I'm going to call him servant C, A, B, and C. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. But his master said to him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I sow no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money at least with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So he's saying to someone else, some other servants, take the talent from him, give it to someone, to the one who has the 10, for to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And then cast this worthless servant into the outer darkness. In this place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Whew. All right, is it obvious? I don't know. I don't know what. Is it obvious what to do and what not to do? Let me just explain this a little bit. So we've got the master who represents for us Jesus. Then we have the servants who represent us, and then we have the talents, which represent, well, let me tell you what they represent. In their time, when Jesus was telling this story in, that first century Roman time, the talent was the greatest numerical measure of financial wealth, and it represented 20 years of wage, right? So in the story and in the context, it represents 20 years. So you do the maths, if you can do maths quickly, 100 years, 40 years, and 20 years. But for us, the talents actually represent so much more than just money. They represent our possessions, our opportunities, our skills, our time, our circumstance, our access, our finance, everything that God would give us in our lifetime. And so what we see in this parable is we see two key responses. Servants A and B, they knew what to do and they did it. You know, to the master, it only mattered that they invested everything they were given. The master didn't necessarily care about the lump sum. You know, he said, both the one with the most and the medium amount, to the master, it was a little. So the master doesn't view it the same way we do. The amount was different, but the value of the talent was the same to the master. Servant C was unsure of what to do. He was fearful and was not cast out because he had a small amount, but because he didn't do well with what he did have. All right, so that's a little explanation there. I'm just going to pray, and then we're going to get into some observations of this word. Holy Spirit, we know you're here, and we know you're speaking to us through your living and active word. Lord, I pray that this would fall on good soil, that we would have softened hearts to hear, and that we would hear what it is that you are asking us to do, and that we would step out and do it, Lord Jesus, to see your kingdom come. And all of Discovery Church said, amen, amen. Well, you guys, you might notice, while I do sound Australian, I come from a Filipino family. And we're first generation Filipino migrants. And so I don't know if you know what that means, but socioeconomically, it meant that we didn't have much, did we, fam? My brother and sister are here. We had what we needed, but we didn't have too much. And we grew up in a 2-bedroom unit in Ringwood. And that was pretty cramped for all 5 of us, but that's cool. But what we did have out the front of the house was a carport. And next to the carport was a tree. And the cool thing about that tree was that you could climb the tree and then you could step onto the carport and you could be on the carport. And the cool thing as kids was that to our left was like, you know, the Mullum Mullum Creek, but to our front, in front of us, was the great and majestic, glorious building that is Eastland Shopping Centre, the greatest shopping centre in the land. And don't tell me about the renovations at Chadstone, I don't want to hear it. So you could see the creek and you could see the great and majestic Eastland. But what we would do, me and my brother, is when we were young, we used to climb up there, build bases, make swords, fight neighbourhood kids and then hide up there. It was great. But when I was 5 years old, I had a grade 6 buddy. And my grade 6 buddy was studying ninja. And I don't mean like ninja courses like cool ones we have today. I'm talking like legitimate like smoke bomb and like shuriken and like, you know, hiding ninja. And I've always been interested in martial arts my whole life. And he told me this when I was 5 years old. He said, Vin, did you know that if you jump off any height, as long as you hit a dive roll, which is a shoulder to hip roll, and spread the impact, you can survive. And I said, I believe you, 12-year-old individual, because you told me you studied ninja. Okay, so we're standing up there one day. This is a true story, ask my bro. I'm standing up there and we're looking down off the top of this carport and he's like, hey Vin, you reckon you could do what your buddy said and like jump down off this like, you know, first floor and like hit a roll and, you know, and survive? I said, yeah, I reckon. He's like, you should do it. I'm like, yeah? And like, to look at me now, like I probably have the skinniest legs in this building. And when I was 5 years old, they weren't any stronger. So I'm like, really trying to assess what, you know, what I'm doing. Anyway, I do it. I jump. My dad's here as well, I've realised. I jump off. Remember this one, Dad. I jump off the carport. I hit the roll and I survive. And it was awesome. And we won't ask my dad. Don't ask for any more of that story because, you know, that will detract from the sermon. But what what I realised, though, was like in similar ways in life, we have carport moments like this. And what I see in this story about these servants A and B was they knew God well. They knew who was talking to them and asking to them and they had a relationship with them, and knowing them actually helped them decide what to do. Knowing God well influences your ability to know what he's calling to you and then the likelihood that you're going to do it. Intimacy with the Father matters. Know him and his plan for you. And you see that in servants A and B. You notice that in the parable, there's no instruction given. They just knew what to do. How do they know what to do? They would have been scared as well, but they still did the thing. Servant C, on the other hand, didn't know the master well, had a wrong perspective. You see, a wrong view of God leads to a wrong response to God. A correct view of God and a trusting God leads to an obedient response to God. And an obedient response leads to His purpose being outworked. You want to see the kingdom come? You want to see wholeness in our communities? It starts with intimacy and knowing the Father. Know the Master, and we'll be able to walk. So that's the first thing I wanted to point out to you guys, is that we need to be intimate with the Father. Knowing Him matters. Knowing the one giving the command matters. Now, I saw something else obvious in this parable, and I wonder if you did too. I noticed something that they all did well. So while the two knew the Father well and one didn't, I think that one thing that they did well was they identified what they had accurately. And it does matter. We need to identify our talents accurately. Our possessions, our opportunities, our skills, our time, our access, our circumstance, our finances. We have to identify them well. And I think one thing sometimes that stops renewal in our lives is we don't think we have what we need, or think that we are not the right person to bring the kingdom in that way into our communities. But I believe that in many cases, these are limiting beliefs. And the thing I want to raise and I want to challenge in all of us, including myself, is what are the limiting beliefs that are holding us back from walking out what God is asking us to do? Where did they even come from if they didn't come from Him? And why are we trying? Why are we not overcoming them? Why are we not trying to look them in the face and question them? You see, God didn't design you with limiting beliefs. The world taught you these. You know, sometimes I find myself being called to be generous with my finances. Sometimes, all the time. But I often say to myself, hey, I'm not able to be generous right now. I don't have enough, Lord. You know, the talent I have, it's not enough. But can I just like shift a bit of perspective? And I want to preface this with saying, I know we're in a cost of living crisis, all right, guys? So just hear me with grace. So I know that sometimes we feel like we can't give financially, but I just want to tell you, I don't know if you know, but in a room this size, you know, there's actually $300,000 hiding in here. And you know where it is? It's in our mobile phones, all right? So I know that I know that it is hard at the moment financially, but let's just have a bit of perspective that there's about $300,000 in iPhones in this room probably, or Android. Well, we won't talk about Android users, but there is a degree of, you know, there is a degree of financial wealth that we may not be aware of. And most of us, we drove here in cars, and then we're probably going to get in those cars and drive home and park the car in its home, which is the garage, and then get out of that and go into our home where the humans live, you know? I was, as I said, one of the things that I do in my life is that I create content and do video work. I was actually in Uganda around this time last year at a refugee camp, and I understood, again, not for the first time, but I understood again what it is like to actually have significant lack. And I'm telling you, even those people, they are generous. They are generous. They don't allow their belief of lack to prevent them from doing what God's calling them to do. It was amazing to see. Sometimes we say we don't have time to help. And it's so hard for me to say something like this when I've just heard of two individuals who spent 25 years of time to help. But sometimes I feel like I don't have time to help. Our good friend and pastor, Doug, has just told us there's a working bee. And can I be honest with you guys? You know the first thing I thought when I heard about this working bee? I was just like, Doug, when am I going to have time to do that, man? I don't have time to do this. I do so many things. How can I help? I don't have time to help you. I don't. But I just want to shift a bit of that belief too. You know, my friends, the average Australian, and while I am Filipino, I consider myself an average Australian. Some in my family might call me a coconut, if you can work out what that means. Brown on the outside, white on the inside. But the average Australian, which includes me, so I'm preaching to me too, guys, spends 6 hours a week on Instagram, on social media. And those of us who are gamers, I'm not a gamer, but those of us who are, like, double that again. So if I'm spending 6 hours, you know, scrolling, which I am because I'm the average Australian, but at the same time God's asking me, hey, can you give a couple of hours to help Doug out? And I'm like, no, I have no time. I think there's a limiting belief there that's actually stopping me from outworking the kingdom, all right? So keep me accountable, guys, 24th of May. I'll see you there. And I won't be posting on social media that week because, I'm at the working bee. You know, sometimes we say, Lord, I know you're calling me to come and serve in this area and do this thing, but I don't have the skill. I don't have the ability to do that. And I want to challenge you and say, that may be true, but can you just add a yet? I don't have the skill yet. I don't know how to do that yet. You know, because it may be true. I can't do X, Y, or Z. I can't preach because I don't know how to preach yet. All right? Can I just encourage you? And not only can I encourage you to add that yet, just don't forget that $1,000 thing in your pocket has a lot of the world's information in the palm of your hand. And not only do you have the information, you have teachers there. And I could tell you stories about how I started a successful creative agency learning all the skills on YouTube, but, you know, that's for another sermon if they have me back. So, renewal starts when we stop accepting lies as truth and let God reshape our minds. Identify your talents correctly, because we cannot afford to let the things that God has given us go to waste. We are called to use it for His purpose. And that's what a life of worship is. Is worship this? Yes, it is. But a life of worship is using everything for His cause, everything I am for your kingdom's cause. Identify your talents correctly. So A and B, servants A and B, they knew their master and that helped them. Servant C had no idea what to do and didn't, because he didn't know the master. All three of them did a good job of understanding who God made when He made them and also what they had to do. But servants A and B also did the one thing that would lead to entering into the joy of the master. And that was they invested boldly in the face of fear. Invest boldly. Investing, it's taking action. It's taking the action that God is asking you to take. You know, in life, we often disqualify ourselves out of the things that God is calling us to do, and we justify it to ourselves with things that society would think is acceptable and a fair excuse. But really, I'm just scared, you know? And I know this, and this is painted in this story as well. Because the servant when Jesus was talking and sharing this parable, the crowd would have heard the response to servant C and been a little bit shocked. They would have been like, wait a second, why is he so mad at servant C? Because you see, in the time that this was being told, one of the smartest things that you could do with a large amount of money and the done thing that society would do was they would bury it. They would hide it. Now, the verse says that he hid it because he feared the master, but they would hide it in the day because they feared other people. And it's very, very interesting, and it's something that I noticed, but we should avoid or try not to avoid investing because we're worried or scared of what God or people would do to us. We cannot let our fear stop us from being obedient to the call of God to invest. We must invest. And here's the sting. I mean, it's pretty obvious, but the sting of this parable is that not investing is not only wasteful, it is sinful. And that's a heavy one to hear. I don't want to tell anyone they're being sinful. This is what the word is saying. And if you don't use it, you will lose it. So I think we need to be a bit more like the first two servants. Yes, they were scared. They had 100 years worth of wage to look after. Of course they were. But still, they did the right thing. They knew their master. They knew what they had appropriately. And they used it. They acted despite their fear. Isn't that interesting? Despite their fear. So if we need to know God, identify the talents, opportunities, access, all of that, that He's given us correctly, and then invest, then what then do we do with the fear that can be present in doing any of those actions? What do we do when we fear God? What if we don't know Him well and we fear that He's not for me, that He's not going to look after me? Or what if I have to give up something in my life to participate in this religion thing? We have fear of what we might uncover if we look deeply at our limiting beliefs and what we might have to do. Counseling, in my case, relearning, or we fear and we feel sorry about the missed opportunities in our life or the hurt we might have caused because we didn't identify our talents correctly. There's fear associated, there's worry. We've got fear of the risk, and this is a big one. I don't know where you're at in life, but I know God's calling me to do things, and there's fear of the risk and the cost of acting and investing in His kingdom's building. So how then do we work out our purpose in the midst of fear? How do we go from where we are now in any of those arenas to where God's calling us to be? And there's fear on the way there. How do we do that? How do we go from here to fear to wholeness and seeing glimpses of heaven on earth? How do we access this level of transformation? Thankfully, we have the living word and we don't have to rely on me to bring answers. In Romans 12:2, it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind." The key to walking out our purpose in the midst of fear is found in the daily renewal of our mind. Remind our soul who God is. Through corporate worship like this morning, through worship, through daily devotions, testimony, fasting like we're doing as a church right now, we need to renew our minds and taste and see, maybe even for the first time, that God is good. See that He is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And stop living by old internal narratives from the world. I'm not blank enough. I'm not a blank type of person, you know, that are holding you back. It might be true now, but it doesn't have to stay true. Side note, did you know that, I'll give you this one. Did you know that hard work is more conducive to success than natural talent? You know, this is a proven study. You can go read a book by Dr. Angela Duckworth called Grit. I might put it in the description in the chat for this one on YouTube. Anyway, we need to say yet. I'm not thing enough yet. And then we need to pray for courage and boldness. For courage to exist, my friends, fear has to exist too. I don't think we're ever going to alleviate the hard and scary thing that we have to walk through to do what God's asking us to do. Anyone who's done anything for the kingdom, you just say amen right now, you know? I don't think we can eliminate the fear. The point here is we don't wait for the fear to be gone. We do it scared. And my encouragement and the title of this sermon this morning is to do it scared. But let's do it scared together. As I said, you know, guys, I'm a jiu-jitsu coach and sometimes the young ones, they'll compete and, you know, the new white belts, they'll compete. I don't because I'm not that good at it. But what I tell them, and they ask me, how am I going to feel? When am I going to feel ready? And I said, my friend, you're going to feel good about competing at the end of the match. If you think you're going to feel good about fighting another man or woman before you do it, you might be a little bit crazy. And my friends, I think in life we need to tackle it the same way. We expect to feel good about preaching here on a Sunday for the first time ever in my life. How am I going to feel good about doing that before I actually do the thing? My friends, we have to do it scared. But I know, and I hope you know this too, that as you step out, and I heard it said before, thanks Cheryl, it stole my notes, but like, we will do it scared, but if we do it in community, we do it scared together. We do it scared together. If you're going to go through, you've got an idea, a business idea, anything, something you want to give to, a skill you want to learn, just remind yourself, I may not feel 100% safe, or not safe, safe is probably the wrong word, fearful or brave about this, because you should be safe, my friends. Don't be reckless. But I'm going to do it in community and I'm going to walk through the fear and do what God's asking us to do. We need to do it scared. To be able to do it scared, we need to remind ourselves and renew our minds daily. I know it's hard to open the word every day. I've got so many things to do, man. I don't have time, Vin, to do that. And guys, I'm guilty of the same. My wife's in the room and she knows that well. But here's the thing. What I know is this, is that if I want to feel the presence of God in my life and have the courage to do the things He's asking me to do, it's harder when I'm not doing it with Him, and it's harder when my mind's not renewed like that. So that's why I love this 21 days of prayer and fasting, is it's an intentional call to do this daily. Let's transform into who God's calling us to do. So, band, can I get you to come up? This team, they did so well, my gosh. Sorry, I got to brag on them a bit, you know. I am the creative pastor after all. The team's going to come up. But my friends, I want to encourage us, let's do it scared together. Let's do it scared together. There's a few reflection questions that I want to leave you with, and they'll come up on the screen, but have a think about it. I want you guys to ask, you know, where is there a misalignment between who the Bible says God is and who I think He is? What do I feel He is calling me to do in the next season? Where is there a misalignment or limiting beliefs about the talents that God may have given me? And what do I need to do with those limiting beliefs? Where am I not investing where I should be? Where am I being asked to act, in other words, but I'm not doing it because I'm fearful and I'm scared? My friends, these are questions that I'm asking too. After all, I am the average Australian as well. You see, the key to walking out God's purpose in our next season, I'm glad that it is found in our relationship with Him. The key is found in intimacy with Him through prayer, through fasting, like the 21 days of prayer and fasting. Practically, what does this mean? If we get into the Word and we meet with Him daily, we renew our mindset. As we change our mindset towards things, so too do our habits change. We slowly start encountering the Word. We do things differently. As our habits change, so too do our behaviors over time. You know, and as our behaviors change, they become more like someone who's bringing the kingdom that we imagine, the heaven and the wholeness of heaven to this world. It's outworked through us with the Holy Spirit. Renewal and wholeness for ourselves, our families, our communities, and our world. You know, my friends, we all have on top of the car park moments, don't we? You know, we all have moments where someone or the Lord God Himself has encouraged us to do something, and we're standing on the edge of the thing, and we're trying to work out if it's a good idea, if we have what it takes to do it. And I just want to encourage you that, similar to the 5-year-old boy on the carport, and we see this everywhere, and I encourage you to look for these signs. But I know someone who knew that they were being called to do something, assessed the opportunity or the talent in front of them to do it, and then took that step even whilst incredibly scared of the unknown outcome. The unknown outcome around whether or not I could preach on a Sunday in a church. And I wasn't going to share this bit, but I don't know what you think of me right now. It doesn't really matter. But there was a time when someone who was in leadership actually greatly discouraged my ability to speak and didn't help me out with it, and just stop me from doing it forever. And so to be able to stand in front of you guys today and actually deliver something, it actually does make me pretty scared. It actually is pretty hard for me. But my friends, can I just encourage you? Can we just please do what God's asking us to do together? And if you have to do it scared, could you just do it scared? Could you do it with me? It's hard, I know. But this kingdom that we imagine, and the renewal in the lives of the people and our communities and our families, it comes when we're willing to call for courageousness and boldness, and we do it scared. It ain't gonna be easy, my friends, but I feel like it'll be easier if we do it together. Let's see renewal come in our time. Why don't you stand up? Why don't you stand up? And I just wanna pray for you, few types of people, if that's okay. And I do want you to respond. And so because I'm going to ask you to respond, I'm going to ask some questions, because I don't want you to identify yourself as any of these areas and then have people look at you funny. Not that anyone will. They're looking at me funny. Like, who gave this guy a microphone? But I want you to close your eyes. And I do want you to respond if you sit in any of these buckets. And then I want to pray with you. And I want you to respond by raising your hand. And online, if you're hearing this, or on the podcast, or in the foyer, or in the parents' room, if you want to respond, you know, if you want to do it discreetly, maybe grab a leader afterwards, but if you want to do it publicly with us, just know I'm thinking of you guys, no matter if you're in the room or not. I want to pray for three types of people. I want to pray for someone who may have known or have never known God to be real, intimate, or genuinely interested in your life. I want to pray for those of us who may have disqualified ourselves based on what someone said we could or could not do, or what we continually tell ourselves we cannot do yet. And I want to pray for those of us who feel like there's a big step that we need to take, but we are hesitant because of the outcome. And I want to encourage you. If around this room you are one of those kinds of people, I just want you to raise your hand in the air. Don't do anything crazy. Just put your hand in the air. If you want to know who God is and you've never known him to be who I describe him as good and caring, or someone who might have disqualified themselves from what God's calling them to do because they're limiting what they actually have and what God actually gave you. And for those of us who feel like we're scared to take the step that we need to, let's pray. If your hand's in the air, put your other hand on your heart and we'll pray together. Lord, 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 you are so good. You look upon us with grace and mercy and you just ask if we'd be willing to be loved by you and to love others. And Lord, right now, we just lift up our hands and we just say, Lord, we need you. We need to encounter you. We need to see who you made when you made me. And I need the bravery and the courage to do what it is you're asking, Lord. Lord, reveal to us what you need to. And Lord, would your kingdom come on earth as we do what it is we need to do to see your purpose unfold in this world. Lord, help me to do it scared. We pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And all of Discovery Church said, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Discovery Church podcast. It is our mission that every heart is found in Jesus' story. If you were moved by this episode, please take 30 seconds to share it on your social media. It only takes a couple of seconds to create life-changing impact.